welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Well, I'm glad you've joined us on the broadcast again this week. I'm going to pick up our study here in John chapter 2, verse number 18. John 2, verse number 18. After the Lord's driven out those fellows that were those money changers and those that are selling sheep and oxen there in the temple, he declares to them, "Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." The disciples in time remember about the scripture there in Psalm 69 that David wrote about the zeal of the house of God hath eaten me up. We see in verse 18, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? You've driven us out of the temple. You've whipped on us. You won't suffer anybody to carry anything through. You've made this declaration that we've made your Father's house a den of thieves, that we've made it a den of a house of merchandise." He said, "Who are you to order us around like that?" Jesus answered, verse 19, and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Does that seem kind of an odd answer to you? They say, "What authority do you have?" He says unto them, it is in a roundabout, maybe we could even say a hidden way, that hearing they might hear, that seeing they might not, that hearing they might not hear, and that seeing they might not see. That's what the Lord says in the time of his ministry, that the parables that he speaks to the people in, that's the reason for them, that hearing they wouldn't hear, and that seeing they wouldn't see. He said, they say, "What sign showest thou unto us?" Or as it says in the other accounts in the Gospels, "By what authority do you do these things?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." When the Lord said those words, he wasn't pointing around to the temple itself and the buildings and such as that. He was referring to his body. He says, "Destroy this temple, take my life, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. In 3 days I'll take my life back again." Now, it's always been, and the scripture manifests it out, that if anybody wanted to show that their power, or we understand this concept in this point, that if somebody wanted to show their power, they can show their power by bringing somebody back from the dead. We have emergency personnel and people that work, fire departments and emergency people that work, and I'm very thankful for those people that dedicate a part of their lives to that work. People that work to protect the peace, and police officers and our sheriff's department and national security and all those things. I'm thankful for that. That's a blessing from God in those things. And the point of all of that is the preservation of life, the keeping of peace. If there's not peace, there's going to be a compromise of life. People are going to lose their lives or be harmed. And so we work very hard and very much, doctors and hospitals and clinics and all that goes on in the world in dealing with that terrible scourge of cancer and other diseases that prevail amongst men, women, and boys and girls. Just a terrible, terrible thing. A terrible, terrible thing to see little children ill and sick. And so the medical community is always working to try to preserve life. And if a person wanted to show that they had power to be able to take someone and heal them, or better yet, to heal somebody from death, somebody that had died, and to bring them back to life, wouldn't that be an ultimate display of power? We have sent people to the moon. We send people, folks into outer space regularly. It's a great endeavor. But it's something that's become commonplace with us. We have great airplanes that fly in the sky and great buildings that men have built. The taming of animals, as James chapter 3 talks to us about. There's no animal that hadn't been tamed by mankind or dominated by mankind. Great things that man has been privileged and given to do on this earth. But no man can give life back to someone that's dead. The giving back of life, the raising of someone from the dead, would be the ultimate display of power, would it not? Well, then the Lord Jesus Christ says here, he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. You know what? It would be something if it would really be so about what these faith healers say that they can do. If a faith healer really could heal somebody, wouldn't you expect them to go to the nearest children's hospital and just start emptying the place out? Yeah, that would be the expectation. And would it be a wonder, would it not be a wonder for someone to really be able, that once someone died, to give them their life back again? I'm talking about dead. I'm talking about cold. I'm talking about 3 days dead. And giving them back their life. Wouldn't that be a wonder? Wouldn't that be the most fabulous display of power? Well, you know what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling them here? They ask him, by what authority did you throw us out of here? He says, you take my life from me, and in 3 days, I'm going to take it back again. Not only is he going to get, it's not that he's going to give life back to another, which that's some of the miracles that the Lord does. There's going to be those that die, that the Lord's going to give them their life back. But the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, you kill me, I'm going to take my life back for myself. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And if there would be such a one that after they would be killed or would die, that could take their own life back again after 3 days. Not 3 minutes, not 3 hours, but 3 days. Take their life back again. Would they not be accounted as chief on this earth? Yeah. They would have a display of power and an ability of power that no man has ever known other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. By what authority do you do these things? What he's telling them? I'm God, fellas. I am God. I'm God's Son, and I am God incarnate. Then said the Jews in verse 20, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Herod had built this temple, the temple had been rebuilt in the days of those that had come from Babylon and were sent by Darius. And by Cyrus to do that work, the city being rebuilt, the temple being rebuilt, and all those things. It was rebuilt in those days, and then it was renovated by Herod. And it's referred to as Herod's temple that was standing in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. The work took some 46 years in its building and its renovation. And they said, are you going to rear it back up in 3 days when it took 46 years to build it in the first place? Verse 21. John clarifies it for us. But he spake of the temple of his body, verse 21. Verse 22, when therefore he was risen from the dead, are you ready? His disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. We read over there in John 14:26 that the Lord promised the Comforter, that the Father would send the Comforter in the stead of the Lord Jesus Christ to be there with his churches, to be there to remind them, to teach them. And here again, the disciples remember that when he raised from the dead, some 3 years after this account, they remembered what he had said. And the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in his disciples that he had placed in his church reminded them of the words of Jesus. And you know what? We need to have the Word of God. We need to have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in us so that as we live this life and we seek to be a witness for the Lord and we endure hardship, criticism, problem, and issue in our life, we need the Word of God in us, the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, that the Spirit of God can cause us to remember and to have it at hand to use, that we might be strengthened, that we might give an answer to those that doubt, and that we might be a witness of the Lord. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. We see that reinforcement going on, don't we? See, as we that have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, as we avail ourselves of the scripture and we fill up on the word of God, it is a strength to us. May God help us. May God help me. May God help you. We that the Lord has saved, may God help us to realize that we just don't need to read the scripture once and then set it down and think that we've got it. This book is a living book. It is alive. One passage will speak to you this year and the need and the place that you're in. And then in the next year, the same passage, the same scripture, it never changes in its content. But because we change, because you change, it'll speak to your need and your strengthening, your help in the state that you find yourself yet in another year, in another time. And that's the way it was here. When he was risen from the dead, John says, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. But you know what? If we don't have the scripture in us, if we don't have the words of the Lord, if we don't have the Old Testament scripture, the New Testament scripture in us, we don't have anything to remember. The Lord has nothing to work with. We can't get the content of this book, this Bible. We can't get it by laying our ear on it at night and trying to take it into us by osmosis. It won't work. We need to read it. Not only read it, but consume it. To eat it, like the Lord Jesus Christ says. Not literally, not to take the pages out of your Bible and eat them, but to feed upon the Word of God, that we might understand what the Lord has for us in it. He said this that when he'd risen from the dead, his disciples remember that he had said this unto them, verse 22, and they believed the scripture and the word, they believed the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, verse 23, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. So he did some miracles there, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. The Lord Jesus Christ came working miracles, and it tells us that in the book of Luke, in the account of one of the miracles that he does there, where the man is dropped down through the ceiling, the men that bring him, those that bring him, the four that bring him, can find no access to the Lord Jesus Christ in that house. They say, we've got to get our friend, our kin, whoever he was to them, we've got to get him to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to heal him. The man is taken with the palsy. And so what do? They rip the tiling off the top where the Lord's at. That room where he's at, they're taking the roof off of it. And they drop that man down in there. And as that man's lowered down in there and lowered down there before the Lord Jesus Christ says, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. He tells the man, your sins are forgiven. Now that wasn't the expectation of those that had brought the man, but it was what was needful for the people that were there. Because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious elite, they said, who is this that forgives sins? And the Lord Jesus Christ says to them, which is easier, to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and take thy bed and go into thine house? But that thou mayest know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins, also I say unto thee, the man with the palsy, rise up, take thy bed, and go into thy house. And you know what the man did? He got up, and he went home with his bed. The Lord doesn't commit himself to these that are here in verse 24 and 25, because he doesn't need the testimony of men. The miracles are worked so that men can understand that the Lord can save. And that's the reason that he did the miracles. And that's the reason that he did the miracles. But what the Lord wants sinners to hear is the word of his mouth. The message that the Lord came preaching at the beginning, repent and believe the gospel. I see that our time has passed. Farewell for now. Until next time. And may the Lord bless you with his word and his truth.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles, and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.